You know, I remember coming back from Sunset International Bible Institute with my degree and my I get to preach card, and I remember coming back to Grass Valley, and I prepared a lesson because he asked me to speak, and I was going to blow everyone away. It was going to be the greatest lesson I've ever given, and it was okay. You know, it was mediocre at best. And I get down from in Grass Valley, I have a almost like a pedestal. You have to climb up to this thing. I've mentioned that before. I come down, and Kelsey Hooper, who's Eli Hooper's wife, she's incredibly sweet. She's a loving and gracious person. She comes up to me and goes, "That was so much better than the lessons you used to give." And at first, and she said it so sweetly and kind, you know, just that type of person who, she can just insult you, but you just want to like, "Oh, thank you." You know, like you just, and, but she didn't. She meant it lovingly and she meant it kindly. And then in my head, I'm thinking like, how bad did I used to be? You know, I work with our youth. I work with teens or young adults. And I believe our congregation is blessed by some of the abilities, some of just the natural abilities that our teens have. Not just the two who are speaking, but everybody, every member of our youth group. I believe our congregation is so blessed by them, by our youth, by their willingness to serve, by their willingness to step up and speak, speak through their actions, speak through their prayers. And I find this incredible. The strength, and I have to brag on them because they're here and their parents are here, so I have to brag on them in front of them. They're just great. They're great men. Their ability has grown, and I believe us as a congregation, it is our job to surround our youth, all of our youth, and love on them and encourage them, spur them on to lead, spur them on to follow Christ. That is our goal and our job. So I want to read this to you, this verse. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and it begins like this. "Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, and for by doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Today we're going to be hearing from Brian and Ben again. They're going to be speaking to you from Psalms 41 and 42.
Good evening. Today's reading will come from Psalms 41, verses 1 to the end. "Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desire of their foes. The Lord sustains them on their sick bed and restores them from their bed of illness. I said, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? When one of them comes to me, see me, he speaks falsely while his heart gathers slander. Then he goes out and spreads it around. All my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying, a vile disease has afflicted him. He will never get up from the place where he lies. Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who I shared my bread, has turned against me. But may you have mercy on me, Lord. Raise me up that I may repay them. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. Because of my integrity for you, uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." I think that this psalm is about how King David is very sick and people are talking behind his back. Even his own friends are saying stuff about him. He is also praying to God to heal him so that he may repay those who have wronged him. I can relate to David because I have been bullied before when I was younger. Some kids used to tell me I was short and it really hurt my feelings and it made me feel like I didn't belong. I'm sure some of you have also been bullied in some time in your life. When I was bullied, I usually kept it to myself and I didn't tell my parents because if I told them, I'd feel like a snitch. David, on the other hand, didn't keep it to himself. He prayed and he went to God for help, and that's what I should have done. And that's what you should do whenever you're frustrated. The next reading will come from James chapter 2, verses 5. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? And the verse, it says that, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? I think that King David in this case is the poor person in the eyes of the world, and he'll be rich in faith and will inherit the kingdom that God promised.
This is happening again? I already tried the whole Dave thing. That didn't work. What am I going to do now? I'm running out of options. I guess this lesson's a good plan B, but whatever. I'll think of something. Well, hello there. Today I'm going to be reading from Psalm chapter 42, one after Brian's. And this is what I'll be quoting throughout the lesson. I won't be quoting the whole thing, but just parts of it. So I'm going to read that. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. Well, people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar, whatever. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Don't you just love reading the Old Testament? Anyway, so what is David trying to say here? It's kind of confusing. He says stuff like, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among festive throng, which is nice. Once again, Old Testament, whatever. But then he says stuff like, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And after he says that, he goes back to the nice stuff again, and he goes back to the like depressing stuff and nice stuff. It's like he's a teenager or something. Anyway, it seems kind of weird that he would say random depressing stuff like this in the middle of his God-praising speech, right? Well, you probably experienced the same feeling. In fact, I would say everyone has experienced this exact same feeling, because it's the feeling you get when you don't want to do something for no reason other than you just don't want to do it. You just don't feel like it. You don't feel like just doing anything, and there's no reason because of it. It's just, you just don't want to do it. Or maybe you're depressed, but everything is going great in your life. You have a great family, you're not having financial problems, nothing's going wrong, but you just feel depressed and you don't know why, you just are. And have you ever gotten up on a Sunday morning and thought, I really don't want to go to church today? I don't know why, I just don't want to. I've done that before. Strangely enough, usually the days I don't want to go are the best ones. But anyway, David is saying here, what he's saying here is why. He's wondering why he's depressed for no clear reason. He's got God's love. He's saying things about how good God is and that he's such a blessing to his life. But as he says this, he's kind of feeling down. He doesn't know why he feels down. one time this happened, something like this kind of happened to me whenever I was at the Pepperdine Lectures about 2 years ago or something like that. And they had this teen program thing you could go to where you do activities and fun games and things like that. And my mom wanted me to go to this thing, and I said, no, I don't really want to go. It seems weird, and I don't like that. So I didn't want to go. But she forced me to go, obviously. And I had an amazing time, actually. We went to the beach and sang songs. We went over to the Boys and Girls Club and did things like, we did things with the kids there. We helped water plants and organize stuff and lots of other things. We also played this game where we were given a paperclip, and whoever went out onto the campus of Pepperdine and traded the paperclip for the most valuable slash interesting thing won. It was based off of that story you might have heard of where some guy traded a paperclip for one thing and then traded that thing for another thing and another thing until he got a house. And that's what we did, except without the house part. And I had so much fun with all those people. They were great. And even some people from camp that I knew were there. And I had just such a great time, and it was awesome. It was just great. And I didn't want to go. I don't know why I didn't want to go. I just didn't want to. So think about a time when this happened to you, when you didn't want to go to something, but you did it anyway, only to figure out it was great. You had a great time, or you know, you had a great experience, whatever. Maybe you didn't want to clean your room slash house. I'm one to talk. But you did it anyway, only to figure out a clean house is so nice. It feels nice whenever your house is all clean, there's nothing on the floor or whatever. Maybe you didn't really want to take your car to get serviced at the mechanic just because you thought, it's probably fine. But you did it anyway. And you found out your car's engine would have completely died and blown up or something, and it would have cost $3,000 to fix, and you wouldn't have had a car. But the mechanic saw the issue and fixed it before the engine died. Maybe you didn't want to go to the doctor because you felt fine, but you did it anyway, and they figured out you had cancer. But because you went to the doctor, they caught it early and got rid of it. And you didn't die. You're good. You see, God doesn't want us to sit and do nothing because we don't feel like it, obviously. God tells us to take action, to make Christ a part of other people's lives. But instead, I don't really want to do it right now, God, is what most of us say. Brandon Dial, who was the speaker for the Porterville Youth Rally, did an awesome job, by the way, did this thing in his first lesson where he had a podium of things he loved and cared for the most. And he said that Jesus should be first on the podium because Jesus didn't put us first on his podium, so we could say, I don't really feel like it, and put him second. He didn't sacrifice himself on a cross so we could say, I don't want to praise Jesus right now. I don't know why, I just don't want to. But no matter what, we're always going to have feelings like this. Feelings of not wanting to praise God because I don't feel like it, or feelings of depression even though your life is great, and you have no reason to be depressed. And when that happens, when you have those feelings, the best thing to do is always to pray about it. Always. When you're depressed, pray. When you don't want to go to church, pray. When you don't want to go to work, pray. We don't want to go to the doctor or to school or maybe tell that one friend you know about Jesus. Pray about it. Whenever you find yourself asking, why am I depressed? Why am I so lost? Pray. So David says in verse 11 and verse 5, they're the same verse, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And he's complaining. But then he says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So basically, he's asking, why am I depressed? Why do I feel so lost? Why do I not want to go to church or school or work or whatever? And he answers with, I don't know, but I put my hope in God anyway, because he is good.